2 Samuel chapter 24. Thought maybe we'd close out the book of 2 Samuel. Been in Samuel for 3 years. I don't think I'll get through this today, and we'll go to next week. Spent 6 weeks in the Mighty Men, didn't we? And really didn't even scratch the surface in that. But in 2 Samuel chapter 24, David's greatest sin is recorded right here. In 2 Samuel chapter 24, you say, well, I thought the sin with Bathsheba and the baby dying and Uriah dying and all that would be in the greatest sin. This is the greatest sin recorded. And a lot of people are going to die because David's going to make a mess of some things here. And these things are recorded, dear people, in the Bible to warn us, to help us. If we'll have an ear to hear it and heed it up, and take God's word and apply it to our hearts and let God work on us. We can mess up. Just like David, a man after God's own heart. God loved David. David messed up. The Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 24, and again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. God was angry. And the Bible won't tell us for some reason at Israel. They had done something. They'd done multiple things, actually, over and over. And his anger was kindled against them. Do you think God maybe anger is kindled at our country and our people?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Our world, absolutely. The shape that it's going. We've got Pride Month going on down here, which is pitiful down here in Pikeville. Not only that, just the wickedness, the apathy of our people. And God's not going to put up with it too much longer. And judgment's going to come. The Bible says, and the anger of the Lord was kindled again against Israel. And he moved. Now, God moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah. I'm going to look at that in a minute. For the king said to Joab, the captain of the host which was with him, go now through all the tribes of Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba. That's from the northern point to the southern point. This big, big, big task that he's going to do. And number ye the people, that I may know the number of the people. Joab said unto the king, now the Lord thy God add unto thy people how many soever they be, 100-fold, and that the eyes of my lord the king may see it. But why doth my lord the king delight in this? Why are you happy about this? You're not supposed to be doing this. God had forbidden this. Notwithstanding, verse 4, the king's word prevailed against Joab and against the captains of the host. And Joab and the captains of the host went out from the presence of the king to number the people of Israel. And they passed over Jordan and pitched in Ariel on the right side of the city that lieth in the midst of the river of Gad and toward Jazer. And they came to Gilead and to the land of Tatim-Hatshah. And they came to Dan-Jan and about to Zidon. Why does God give us those cities off? A lot of times in the Word of God, to trace, to show us exactly where they went through. And God is very detail-oriented. And it came, verse 7, and came to the stronghold of Tyre and to all the cities of the Hivites and of the Canaanites. These people shouldn't even been alive anyway. They should have been took care of. And God's showing us here these people are in the land too. And they went out to the south of Judah, even to Beersheba. So when they had gone through all the land, they came to Jerusalem at the end of 9 months and 20 days. It took 9 months and 20 days to count all these people. And Joab gave up the sum of the number of the people unto the king, and there were in Israel 800,000 valiant men that drew the sword, and the men of Judah were 500,000 men. That's a lot, ain't it? And David's heart smote him. Fell under great conviction after that he had numbered the people. David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done, and now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. I shouldn't have done this, but I've done it, and I messed up, and I have sinned very foolishly. I've not done right, God. His heart smote him 9 months and 20 days afterwards. I'm going to stop right there this morning. In verse 1, the Bible says, and again the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah. Now, the companion scripture with this, the same story, is found in 1 Chronicles 21, but it's told a little different. In verse 1 of 1 Chronicles 21, the Bible says, and Satan stood up against Israel. First time you'll see Satan standing up. Stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. So, here the Bible says, and the anger of the Lord, and again the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah. And then in 1 Chronicles 21, it says, and Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. You say, well, that's a contradiction right there. That's two different things. No, it's not. Watch this. God was angry at Israel. God was angry at Israel. God was going to chastise Israel. David was there, and David in his heart wanted to number the people. David is an older man right here. He's in probably his 50s when that happens with Bathsheba. He's an older man right here. And what's one of the things that's very, very gets a person older? I said, what with the Lord's pride. And David's here wanting to number the people. So God, using the devil, watch this, God using the devil as his tool, lets the devil go ahead and provoke David or entice David to do what David already wants to do in his heart anyway. Does that make sense to you? You see, if you want to go ahead and do something in your heart, if you already got in your mindset that you're going to do something, and you're dead set on doing it, God lets you go ahead and just go ahead and let you do it. And because anytime somebody sins and sins against God and sins against the things of God, they just go ahead and do what they want to do anyway. They go ahead and they got a lust for that, a desire to do that. And so God's just going to use the devil as his tool to go ahead and provoke and entice David to do what his heart already wants to do anyway. A man that's never had a problem with the drink and alcohol, the devil's never going to come at that man with alcohol because he's never had a taste for alcohol. He's not going to come at him with drugs, but he's going to come at him with whatever taste that he's already had. He's going to come at him with what? If it's pride, he's going to come at there. Whatever it is, that's the way the devil's going to come at people, through those angles. If it's some sort of a heart issue, a spiritual issue, that's the area that the devil's going to come at, and that's what he's going to provoke at. And if you want to go ahead and have your heart and mind already set on that, God will just let the devil just go right ahead and entice you on into it and let you just go ahead and do what you want to do anyway. The Bible says in Romans 13, 14, nobody just falls into sin, people. You know that, don't you? Nobody just wakes up one day and goes, gets drunk, or runs around their spouse, or anything else. That just don't happen. It don't happen that way. Nobody falls into sin. The Bible said, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. Clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and make, what's the Bible say? Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You make provision in your heart. You make provision in your mind. You make provision for ourselves. And then when that temptation's there and opportunity's there, what happens? We mess up and we say, well, I fell into sin. I messed up. The Bible says make no provision. David has already been made in provision right here. His heart, there's time of peace. He's feeling good about himself. Let's go number the people. And so if you want to go ahead and do something, what your heart is already set on doing, listen, God will just let you go right ahead and go ahead and do it. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:27, Paul says, neither give place to the devil. Don't give the devil a place in your heart. Neither give him a spot there. Psalm 81, 10, 12, David said, for I am the Lord thy God, Psalm 81, 10, 12, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill. In other words, God's saying, I brought you out of the land of Egypt, open your mouth wide, I'll fill it, I'll give you the blessings, I'll help you. But my people, verse 11, look what God says, but my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So, God said, I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. You know what we see in this day? If your heart and my heart gets to a place, we want to go ahead and do what we want to do anyway. God will work with us. God will send people to us. But then there comes a point in time, God just says, go ahead. I'll let you just go right ahead and just do what you want to do anyway. And it never works out when that happens. Hosea 4:17, God says, Ephraim is joined to idols. Go visit him and see if he'll come back. Go send him a card. Let him alone. He said, Ephraim is joined to the idols. Let him alone. God had worked with these people. God had blessed these people. God had helped these people. God had showed great mercy to these people. But Ephraim went ahead and joined into idols. God said, just leave them alone. You said, well, I can't believe God. That ain't the God of the Bible. I'll bring to you all kinds of verses. This is the God of the Bible right here. He ain't doing it for somebody that's never had light, somebody that's, you know, walked in ignorance. These is people here that's had great light. I mean, these people here had seen the blessings and the miracles of God. Listen to me. For us sitting here today, everybody in here, you're very faithful to Sunday school, Wednesday nights, Sunday mornings. It's very dangerous to sin against that. Matter of fact, anybody tied in this, God's going to hold them responsible for the light that goes out, for the instruction, the insight that goes out right here. He said, Ephraim is joined to idols, let him alone. Romans 1:24. Wherefore God also gave them up. What are you talking about here, Brother Kevin? God's just letting David do what David's heart already wants to do anyway. God's just letting him do what he wants to do. And David's going to pay a price, and a lot of other people's going to pay a price too. Romans 1:24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their bodies between themselves. Three times in that one chapter, God gave them up. God gave them up. You say, how can somebody do such wicked things that they do that we see and we read? Nothing shocks us anymore. We don't even blush some of this wicked. You can't even watch cable TV and watch a ball game without some filthy, vulgar thing flashing before you. They don't even bother us anymore. Any type of murder, any type of anything, just don't bother us anymore because God gave them up. Mankind left to himself is not good. You know that, don't you? And you're not good either. The thing that Hitler done, it's in me and it's in you. No, it ain't in you. Yeah, it is. He was made of the same stuff that you're made of. Nah, and don't trust your flesh an inch. None whatsoever. God gave them up. He let them go right ahead and do it. And their conscience was seared. What's a sad place to be at, ain't it? And here's the thing. God tells us about this. God warns us about this in the very first chapter of the Bible. And we see this principle, Brother Glenn, played out all through the Bible and in the life of David. And God shows him great mercy. But this sin that David done, it was avoidable. The whole thing with what went on was avoidable. And the things in our life that we get jammed up in is avoidable. For the most part, many, many times we get ourselves into stuff that we could have just avoided. David could have avoided this whole thing right here. But he's going to go ahead and do what his old heart wants to do. Right in the very first part of the Bible, with the very first family, where there was no outside pressures and stresses, where the culture was not in the Garden of Eden. Genesis 4, the Bible says, verse 3, and in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought the first thing of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offerings. God, listen to me, God has no respect to people, but God does respect certain principles. You know that, don't you? God's got no respect. God don't look down at one person and say, oh, I'm going to favor this person a little bit. But if this person here is walking in the principles of God, God will favor that person more than somebody else that don't. And Cain's offering that he brought displeased the Lord. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had no respect. The reason I'm reading this, I'm going to show you something about sin. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why are you so mad? Why are you so bitter? And why is thy countenance fallen? He said, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? If you do what you're supposed to do, Cain, I'll accept you. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Now what's he talking about here? That word for sin lieth at the door is a picture of a crouching wild animal. And God is speaking and saying, and thou shalt rule over him, talking about the crouching animal having rule over Cain, what we're talking about here. God said, Cain, if you don't get this right, this whole thing that you're getting ready to get involved with here is avoidable. You're getting ready to mess up. It's avoidable. And if you don't get it right, sin's lying at the door like a crouching, wild animal. And he'll rule over you, and you can't do a thing about it. It'll tear you all to pieces. It'll drag you around. There's not one thing that you can do about it. And what did Cain do? He went right ahead and done what his old heart wanted to do anyway. Now that's with God talking to him. Almighty God, not a preacher, God. And sin, that's the way we are right there. That is our hearts. That is our wicked, depraved heart. That's mankind right there. Sin lieth at the door. You ever see these people out here? They can't stop. I mean, they can't stop what they're doing. They're hooked on everything. They're messed up from the floor up. It's like they can't stop. Well, the Bible says their eyes full of adultery can't cease from sinning. They can't stop it. Why? Because sin's got a hold of them. You ever seen a lion out in the jungle get a beast and a little animal, and it just jerks it around, takes it up a tree, takes it in the water, just drags it. That's what sin does to people's lives. That's what it does. Just gets control of them. And they're a slave to it. There's people that wake up in the morning, the very first thing they think of is how I can get some kind of dope, or how I can get some kind of drink, or who I can con somebody of. And they lay down at night. That's what they're chained to that. And it just drags them around like a hook in the nose, Ricky. That's what it does to them. And this whole thing with David right here was avoidable. It could have been avoided, just like other things in David's life could have been avoided. But God's going to let the devil go ahead and entice him, go ahead and provoke him, just to go right ahead and do what he wants to do anyway. It's kind of like that little boy, his dad said, don't go swimming. I don't want you to go on swimming. And he's walking to school right there, and he goes out of the way to go by the swimming hole, and his dad pulls up and says, what are you doing? He said, well, I ain't swimming. He said, but you're by the swimming hole, and you got your swimming trunks in your hand. I mean, he wanted to go ahead and do what he wanted to do anyway, so he's making provision of that, ain't he, to do that. That's the way sin is. This whole thing with David right here and the whole thing in our lives is avoidable. And the Lord was, his anger was kindled against Israel, and he moved David. He's going to let David be the instrument that God's going to use to chastise David and chastise the people, and he's going to let the devil go right ahead and go through his hands. He's the devil, and he's got power, but he ain't got all power, and he's God's devil. God only allows the devil to do what God bids to do for his own purpose and his own will. That's what God does with a Christian person, with a saved person, and God just letting the devil just go right ahead and get a hold of David, let David go ahead and do what he wants to do anyway, and there's going to be great, great consequences for that. So, Brother Jason, this sin that David done right here, it was totally avoidable. And the Bible said in verse 2, for the king said to Joab, the captain of the host, this is his nephew, this is the great general Joab, which was with him, go now through all the tribes of Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, and number ye the people, that I may know the number of the people. Now watch this. And Joab said unto the king, now the Lord thy God add unto the people, which that's what God said. God said, I'll take care of the people. I'll number the people. How many soever they be, 100-fold, that the eyes of my Lord the king may see it. But why doth my Lord the king delight in this thing? Now, of all the people, God is going to use Joab to give him some advice. So this sin that he's in getting involved with is totally avoidable. Could have been avoided. And God's going to use somebody close to him that David's got a lot of confidence in, even though Joab's a scoundrel, to give him some advice and say, you know, the Lord's the one that wants to count the people. We really shouldn't do this. Now, I don't think, Tyler, that Joab's doing this because Joab really cares what God says. I think Joab's doing it because he really don't want to fool with it. I don't think Joab wants to go 9 months or 20 days of his life counting all the people and all that. It's a lot of work involved in this census. They did the census for military purposes and for other reasons. And God did not want the kings to do this because they get puffed up with pride, how many people they got, and how strong they are, what a great, God didn't want them to do that. And so Joab, I don't think Joab's doing it, Randall, because he really, you know, gives a nickel about God. But nonetheless, David's getting some advice from somebody that says, you know, we shouldn't do this. So David ain't going into this blindly, and he's getting some good advice here about we really shouldn't do this. God don't want this to be done. Isn't that the way we are right there? We'll come to church, and God will use a preacher to get up and tell us something from the Word of God, and we get mad, and we'll run out. We're going to do what we want to do anyway, and we just stay mad, mad, mad. When all the while, if we'd just done what God said, we would have never been in the mess in the first place. Anybody's ever been there but me? Y'all pray for me. I get there sometimes. And we go against great advice of what this book says right here. God is not going to listen. God's not going to make none of us live right. God ain't going to make none of us do right. God will help us. God will put the right people in our life. God will direct us the right way. Ultimately comes down, we're not robots. We have the ability not to do what we're supposed to do. If we choose not to, that's fine. And God will let us go right ahead and do it. He'll help us do it. He's helping David. Help you go right. Help yourself. Go. Help yourself. Get your belly full of it, David, because you're going to pay a big price in it. That's what the God of the Bible does. That's what he's doing with us, our people right now. Go ahead and get your belly full of it, because judgment's coming. It's coming. Church folk, go ahead and keep playing. Go ahead and go ahead with your dirty motives and your intents, because the judgment's coming. That's what God's book says. And so he sends David this great advice. And he stands in the face of David, and he's saying, look, we shouldn't do this. This is 2 Chronicles 36. And this is all about the nature of God. That's what we learn in Sunday school, about the nature of God, the ways of God. 2 Chronicles 36, verse 14. Moreover, all the chief priests and people transgressed. Watch this. Transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen. I mean, the preachers, the churches were transgressing at that time, doing just what the heathen nations were doing. They had temple prostitution going on. They had all kinds of wickedness. And polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. They had made the temple of God just a joke. I mean, and that's one reason why we can't get anybody in church right now these days, because pretty much for the most part, I'm embarrassed telling anybody I'm a preacher because of what goes on with some of these people, how they live and things that they've done and all this stuff in some of these churches. So a lost person has zero confidence in a church. None. Unless God gets a hold of their heart and draws them to the place, and God's got to captivate their minds. There's so much that goes on, dear people, in somebody getting saved. You know that, don't you? Just more than just, well, I feel bad because I've been, a jerk. No, it's got to be way more than that for somebody gets their life changed. Now watch this, verse 15. And the Lord God of their fathers, he didn't just judge them. God don't work this way. We mess up. We do stupid stuff like David's doing. God just don't reach down with a ball peen hammer, Brother Brett, and start beating us half to death. What did he do? What God always does. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers. He sends people to them. Rising up, the only time this word used there, and I love this word, be times. King James Bible, be times. What's that mean? It means early. That means way early, for it way got too late. Be times. God sent messengers out to these people that was really messing. And sending, because he had what? Compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. One of the things, y'all have heard me say this, and you're seeing more and more of it, when God starts pulling back the preachers, when you're seeing less and less of God's real called preachers, judgment's getting ready to come. Because, listen, he's got compassion on these people, so he sends them preachers. He sends them messengers early saying, get this thing right. But look what they done in verse 16. But they mocked. They made fun of the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets. So they mocked them and they despised them and they misused them until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people. Here's the sad part in that verse, till there was no remedy. There wasn't no fixing it. David's going to do something here. He's done something here that 70-some thousand, they're going to die. They ain't no fixing death. They're going to die. And it was every bit avoidable, Ricky. It was all avoidable. God had sent him advice. God had sent him a preacher. God had sent him Joab, not a preacher, but God had sent him a word to hopefully jar something up in his heart, but he's going to do what he's going to do anyway. Ain't that the way people are? Ain't that the way they are right there? And the church is empty. A lot of seats is empty this morning because that's the state of people right there. I'm going to do what I want to do anyway because what I feel, what I want, overrides what this book says, and I'm going to be okay. And I can justify. You know, you can justify anything. I've talked to people that's killed people, cold-blooded murder, and you talk to them for 10 minutes, and man, they justify pretty good, rationalize it. But there ain't no justification in that rationalization in this. It's wrong, and he knows it's wrong. It's the greatest sin that he done, and he's going to do it anyway. And he's an older person, Glenn. He's an older man right here. This ain't his first rodeo with God. He should know better than what this right here. We and I need to be aware, no matter how far down the road we get with God, we can get messed up, right? We can get messed up. And that's what's going to happen right here. And so he sinned against great light. He sinned against great witness. God sent somebody down there. Now, watch this. This whole thing was avoidable. Whole thing was avoidable. God sent him some advice down there. God sent him a word down there. Now, the attention that's going to happen to his soul. Verse 10. And David's heart, what? Smote him. When did it smite him? After that he had numbered the people. David's heart smote him. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done. And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. So the whole thing was avoidable. I'm going to do it anyway because that's what I want to do. I'm going to go ahead and play around this line because that's what I'm going to do. And it'll work out for me. And we're living in 2022. We've got roughly over 6,000 years of human history from Adam and Eve. And it ain't never worked out for nobody else before then. But you, it's going to work out for you. It's going to be different for you and for me. Well, we're so ignorant, ain't we? We believe that stuff. And we think we can get by. Nobody else. It didn't work for Abraham. It didn't work for Jacob. It didn't work for Moses. God didn't even let Moses get over the promised land. But we think we can play around and smite the rock and get over there we need to get. We're so ignorant and foolish to think that way. David didn't work out for David too good. He didn't get to build the temple because he's had bloody hands. Didn't work out for Solomon too good. And it ain't going to work out for you and it ain't going to work out for me if we get tangled up in stuff. That is totally avoidable. And then once we do, before we do, it's amazing. God sends somebody to give us some good advice in our life. And you know, David, Gad's going to come to David, a prophet, a preacher named Gad, G-A-D. He's going to come to him and David's going to receive his words. Maybe if Gad would have come before that, I don't think David would receive him. I don't think David, but God knew David would receive from the mouth of a sinful man. So God's going to use Joab because of the condition of the condition in the place of David's heart where it was at this time. God uses Joab to give him some advice, say, look, jar his heart, ain't going to work. So now after the people's numbered, 9 months and 20 days pass. They come back and say, David, here's the number, and his heart smokes him. God smokes him, gets his attention through conviction. Aren't you glad that there's something that God has called conviction? Are you glad for that? Jesus said, it's expedient that I go away. I go away, the comforter is going to come to you, which is the Spirit of God. You don't conjure up the Spirit of God. We don't jump around, dance around, and play some kind of slow song on an electric guitar and bring up the Spirit of God. That's not the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is God Almighty in spirit. And Jesus said, and when the Spirit of God's here, he's going to convict or reprove the world of what? Of sin and of righteousness. What's that mean? How to get right with God. That's what righteousness means. And of judgment. In other words, there's judgment coming. But of sin. So here David's heart smotes him, which is conviction that comes upon his heart. and he smites him with conviction. Do you ever get convicted about anything? Does anything move your heart that does mine? Conviction, God moves conviction, draws you with that. What's conviction mean? It means God just lays out the case and you're guilty. You ever hear everybody say this? Well, I do this, and I just don't feel guilty about it. I mean, I can do that, and it don't convict me, Brother Kevin, to do that. Well, do you have to be convicted in the court of law to be guilty of something? O.J. Simpson killed 2 people. He was never did a day in jail. Was he ever convicted of that? But I mean, he all but said he's guilty. I mean, you can go do something justified in your mind. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When God convicts you of something, it's dangerous just to put that off. Dangerous, buddy. Because God will draw you. God will convict you. And that's what he does right here with David. David's heart's so sensitive. And he smites him with this. David knew he wasn't supposed to be doing this. And then great conviction fell upon David because of this. That's why he's a man after God's own heart. He's sensitive towards God. He's sensitive towards the things of God. He offended God. And when you offend God and I offend God, we get conviction. We give conviction. If you're saved, you do. If you can go out here and live in sin, if you can go out here and shack up, if you can go out here and drink, if you can go out here and do dope, if you can go out here and handle talk, if you can go out here and do the things that you do in sin that we see people do, and it don't bring any conviction on you, you're not saved. Oh, but I cried at the altar. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how many times you got dipped in water. God don't work that way. He chastises his children. That's what we're getting ready to see. I don't chasing nobody else's children. I'm chasing my own children because they're my children. And you say, well, you're a pretty good daddy. Take care and discipline your children. But we say God lets people go live like they want to live and don't never chasing them and don't never spank them and he's our father. I don't believe that announced. The Bible don't line up with that. Does it? Well, they would say, well, I don't have to go to church, worship God. Well, you're going to be in heaven when people go to church. I don't know if you're saved or not. Do you? I mean, come on, people. Let's use our heads for something more than a hat rack half the time. I got a desire, Glenn, to be here, don't you? To be with God's people. You go through something in life, you see God's real people show up and try to help you. They just ain't wants to go to this church. There's all kinds of good churches and good people out there that go places for very reasons. But if somebody can get out and play around in sin, Randall, and never be convicted, never bother them, live in sin, they ain't saved. Bottom line, God lays that out in his word. That ain't Kevin, that's God laying out. Now, he gets under great conviction. And God does something here. Verse 11, for when David was up in the morning, and the word of the Lord came unto the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, now here's a preacher, prophet, go and say unto David, now God's going to give this preacher in verse 12, the words go say. That's the way God works with a God, real God called anointed preacher. And just because a man hacks don't mean he's a preacher. Some of the best ones I ever heard don't hack. Don't have to be hacking, slobbering, going on to be God's preacher. Don't get caught up in that stuff. If ain't nothing behind that, I don't care if he can hack and hum and him all the way over the place. Listen, they got to be some substance behind God's book. Let's get past this stuff, all right? Get past that. Well, that makes me feel like back in the old days. We need to get by the old days. The old days ain't done no good, done us no good. We need the God's word now. Amen. Right? Amen. And so he sends his prophet in here and he's got God's word, Brother Brett. Watch this. Here's what God says, verse 12. I offer thee 3 things. Curtain 1, curtain 2, curtain 3. Here's the choices. There was the conviction. Here comes the choices. So go and say unto David, thus saith the Lord, I offer thee 3 things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. Boy, here's your punishment, buddy. So Gad came to David and told him and said unto him, shall 7 years of famine come unto thee in thy land, or wilt thou flee 3 months before thine enemies while they pursue thee, or that there be 3 days pestilence in the land? Well, which is the shorter of the 3 is the 3 days of pestilence. Now, what kind of pestilence? I don't know. Now, advise and see what answer I shall return to him that sent me. David said unto Gad, I'm in a great strait. I got problems. I'm in a great strait. And that's what sin does. And God's saying, go pick your punishment, buddy. I'm giving you that, but you're going to get punished. Now go pick it. You can have a famine in the land all them years, and famines were devastating. I mean devastating. I'll put you on the run again. David been on the run. Oh, he knows how hard that is. I'll give you 3 days of pestilence. But he ain't telling what kind of pestilence. David said, I'm in a great strait. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord. For his mercies are great. And let me not fall into the hand of a man. Did you get that? I would rather fall into the hand of God than fall into men. God, because you know why, Ricky? God knows exactly how much punishment I need. I won't get no more. I won't get no less. God knows exactly how much mercy I need. I won't get no more mercy than I deserve or no less mercy than I deserve. And David said, I'd rather fall into the hand of God because he's right. You know, if somebody dies and don't know the Lord, never made a profession, like my old grandfather died up here, and I feel like, man, I failed him. I didn't do right by him. He's so hard to talk to, so hard to get to know. And he never heard you preach. I tell my grandmother, but bless her heart, she don't know up from down right now. But I would tell her, I'd say, he fell into the hands of God. He won't get no more. He won't get no more judgment than he deserves, and he won't get no more mercy. He'll get just exactly what he deserves. And guess what? I will too. And you will too. You'll get just exactly. When we fall into the hands of God, we'll get just exactly. Because God knows us. He knows why we do what we do, why we've done what we've done, how we are the way we are. David knows this about God. David says, I'd rather fall into the hands of God. I'd rather fall into the hands of God than to fall into the hands of wicked men. Because wicked men are wicked, aren't they? So the Lord, look at verse 15, so the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel. Here's the chastisement that comes. The conviction. After he got his soul's attention, Brother Jason, with conviction, he gave him his choices. Here comes the chastisement. So the Lord sent a pestilence upon the Israel from the morning even to the time appointed. And there died, look at this, and there died of the people from Dan to Beersheba. Why from Dan to Beersheba? Because that's where the sin was committed. They committed it from Dan to Beersheba. So there died of the people from Dan even to Beersheba 70,000. That's a lot of funerals, ain't it? 70,000 died. Can you imagine 70,000 families wailing because this pestilence come from God, and it came from God because one man done something that was avoidable, that went against the advice, and now God got his attention through conviction, gave him some choices, and it was his choice, and here are the chastisements. Could you imagine how the man feels? He's personally responsible for 70,000 people, innocent people, they ain't minding their business, dying. Boy, sin's got great consequences, don't it? Oh, I'll do what I want to do. It's my life. I'm a big man. I'm big no. Everything you do affects somebody else. It does. If you ain't going to live right, at least live right for your youngins and grandyoungins. At least live right for them. If you don't care nothing about yourself, at least do enough because you love them. And I believe you do. Let's at least be faithful enough to do what right because we love our family. I mean, if you don't care nothing about yourself, at least do right for your kids. I mean, they ain't got a chance. They depend on you. They're innocent. At least do right for them, praise God. And so the chastisement fell right here. Chastisement fell. Verse 16, I'm going to stop right here. We'll pick up on this later. I'll finish this up next week. When the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it. Can you imagine them seeing this angel stretched out his hand to destroy it? I mean to obliterate it. The Lord repented him of the evil. Well, God, what do you mean God? No, that means God just turned back. turned back and said to the angel that destroyed the people, "It is enough." That's it. That's it. Stop right there. "Stay now thine hand." And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing place. I'll get on this next week. Of Araunah the Jebusite. Now, can you imagine old brother Araunah at his house there, his threshing floor? And there's an angel standing right there with his hand out looking at you that just wiped out 70,000. Powerful creature. And God says, "Hold back." That angel just standing there. Boy, can you imagine old brother Araunah trembling there at the threshing floor? There's a reason he stopped here at this threshing floor. This is Mount Moriah where Abraham offered up Isaac. This is also Calvary, right? This is the place where Calvary's going to be. Gordon's Calvary, I believe, is right here. I have to study that out a little bit more. There's a special place right here. And I'm going to get on this next week. Before this thing could be made right, David's going to have to make a sacrifice. There's some things going to be done. But blood's going to have to be shed for this going to get right. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Before this can get right, blood's got to be shed. Great principle learned right here in 2 Samuel chapter 24. And great judgment fell right here. This is the greatest sin he done. The greatest amount of people that was affected. And it was every bit avoidable. How much things in our life was avoidable? I mean, honestly. Stupid stuff we've done. Things we've got jammed up in. Totally avoidable. God sent, if you think about it, God sent people in there and we didn't have here. We know, we big man, big woman, we know everything. We're going to get by. Even though Tyler for 6,000 years ain't got by, we're going to be the one to get by. We're smart. We got it figured out. Ain't we fools? The devil's got a way of getting us things. We get so enamored. The devil's got a way of fooling us, don't he? And that's what happens with David. A man, the most spiritual man in the Bible. A man after God's own heart, sensitive heart towards God. But thank God he gets it right. I mean, he's quick to just get it right, take my medicine and go on. And it's so much better from God when God just chastises, we just take our medicine and go on when we've done wrong instead of rebel and stiff-necked. It's so much better to say, "God, I didn't do it. I ain't done right. I don't do right. Just take it." Instead of making excuses. That's what we do. We make excuses. David ain't going to do it. He's going to take it. Just going to take it. And unfortunately, 70,000 die because of that. Let's stand this morning. I will finish this next week. I knew I wasn't going to get through all this today. But I really want to dig into Brother Araunah, the Jebusite, and the threshing floor. I really want to get into that. And what David said, David said he's going to offer the Lord here enough. They offered to give him the place. He said, "I don't want nothing. Hey, if it don't cost something, I don't want it." Serving the Lord is going to cost us something, ain't it? David said, "You ain't going to give me nothing. I'm putting some skin in the game on this because it's going to cost something. And it's going to cost you something to live right for God. It's going to cost you something to know God. You're going to have to put some skin in the game." I've noticed with people when it comes time to put skin in the game, they quit. They get weak. Fly out on you. Jason, you put your 7 pennies in. I told a fellow this week, I said, "Man hangs around 5 years in the church. You pretty much can nail him down. He's there. Anybody can come in for a year. Anybody can come in and look good for 2-3 years. You hang in there 5+, pretty much nailed down there and in there, ain't you? Couldn't dynamite you out, could we, Jason? We love you. Ricky, pray for us.